So we're going to be continuing the book, Love as a Way of Life. Only my part is this. I've read the chapter that Pastor gave me, and I like it. I recommend it to everybody if you want to read it. But I personally believe that I can't do it without Jesus Christ, so I'm putting Jesus Christ first. And you'll see this in this sermon, I guess you want, if you want to call it that. Because we're nothing without him. And I know I'm nothing without him, and I'm a firm believer in that. It is by his grace, and that song just was perfect. That song was perfect because when we think about what he has done for us and the way it goes, I'm going to be reading from some of the scriptures that was given to me in the handout. So I don't even know if they're going to be up on the screen or not. But the one I want to start with, let us pray first. Let us pray. Jesus, we invite you into this place. You know you're always welcome. We ask that your Holy Spirit come in here among us and give us the message that you want us to have. Give us the seed to take out into the world. Give us what you want us to do. Jesus, we know that this book, this kindness that we're speaking of affect us all in different ways. And we have our own ways of doing it. Thank you, Jesus, for knowing each and every last one of our ways. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for making us. Thank you for being here with us. And like you say, that you will do, you will see to it that it's achieved. Lord God Jesus, thank you. For we pray from this point of victory, knowing that your word is it. It is life. It is real. It is there. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Okay. Reading the first scripture from Acts 10:39 is Acts 10:38, I'm sorry. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and the power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Now, it says healing all. That's a great thing, because you never heard Jesus Christ, or you never see in the Bible where Jesus Christ told anyone, oh, before I heal you, you need to go and get right. He never said that to anyone. He never said anything about what sin someone had done or why. He went around healing people. He said, and it says here, it says all that was oppressed by the devil. He didn't wait for us to get right or do right or whatever it is. He showed us kindness. He showed them kindness. And that kindness is what he wants from us. You know, what he wants us to do to reciprocate that kindness to one another. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that when you do this kindness, that he says that you will be repaid. You will be repaid. Now, Nelson Mandela. One day I was looking at a documentary on Nelson Mandela, and they were talking about his time in prison when apartheid was going. He spent over 30 years in prison. And, you know, that apartheid was very racist. And the guard, they were interviewing one of his guards. And the guard said, you know, they had the right to call him anything, do whatever they want because they were black. But they said Nelson Mandela was very polite, very kind, would always ask him about his family, said he was so nice, so polite, and so courteous to even the guards that was mistreating him. He said you had to respect him. He said it made him respect him because he would always do that. And in here in Matthew's 10:42, it says, and even if anyone gives even a cup of water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Now, Nelson Mandela in a prison, in a racist place, in a prison because he was going against apartheid, and he got his reward, even though, like the guard said, he didn't have a choice but to be polite and nice back to Nelson Mandela because of the kindness that Nelson Mandela, the prisoner, showed him. So it's certainly true that he says you will get your reward. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's one of the things that I remember out of that whole documentary, that when the guard was on there saying that he had to be nice to him, it was like a power, I guess. But here it explains it. God promised you that you will get your reward, and I guess that's a realization of that promise. There is so much out there and so much kindness that people need, that we all need. I'm dealing with my friend, and he's got his problems, and it's frustrating because he's out there on the streets with most of the other people doing whatever, whenever. But I still think it's my job to show him kindness. You know what I'm saying? It's my job to show him kindness and to make sure that he sees there's a way out, if nothing else. I remember earlier this week, I know that he feels like when he's on his drug of choice that he's acting perfectly, even though we know otherwise. But like a note that, I mean, he left me a thank you note, and I was responding to that note. And like I told him, I don't need a perfect person in my life. The only perfect person in my life that I need is Jesus Christ. That's it. So you're getting high, whatever it is, and you think you're doing, that's not what's needed for this. But I needed him to know that. I needed him to know it. What good is it going to do? It looks like it's doing better, but that's God's timing and it's not mine. And I can't do it for a physical reward. I have to do it because I think that's what God wants me to do. It's to be there, you know. Some of these people that we see out here on the streets doing whatever and however and the things of that nature, like him, I know he knows Christ. I've talked to him. I know that he's very astute with the scriptures and things of that nature, but somehow he got turned around. And I can remember when I was turned around, you know. So that's another reason I can't turn my back on him, and it's because I know that he is a child of God, even though he's probably not where he should be right now or want to be right now. And with that, I can't go around judging people, or in my case, it would be misjudging people because of what they look like on the streets and what they're doing. All I can do is show them kindness. And there are homeless people that are up in down there in Provo and stuff like that. They know that if they truly need a ride and it's not after whatever, that they could call me and they'll get a ride and things of that nature. If it's, you know. So I think that's what God wants us to do. In this book, it talks about showing kindness. And we all got ways to show kindness. We all know how to do that. And God is promising us that if we do it, it would not go unrewarded. So why not? If we're going to put our trust and faith in him. I ain't saying go out and put yourself in danger or whatever the case is trying to do that. I'm saying all even small acts of kindness. I mean, even in this scripture, he talks about giving a cup of water. You know, when I first read this scripture, I was kind of confused. Okay, where was this at? I can't even remember which one I read. Because it says, even if he gives him a cup of water, he would not lose his reward. I was trying to figure out who he is was. He was. He would not lose his reward. Was he the one that was given the cup of water or the one that was receiving the cup of water? I know now it's the one that's given the cup of water because I had to go back and, you know, read ahead or read behind basically where it led to. But it can be both. It can be both because when you see someone out there in need and need that cup of water, that's a kindness that you can do. Whether you, no matter when you do it or how you do it, there are someone that needs that cup of water. And there are sometimes that somebody, you will need that cup of water. When I needed it, there were people to help me get back on the right track. There was Josephine, which was the housekeeper of these people I used to work for. I was the gardener. And I remember getting my second DUI and really messing up a lot. And Josephine, she's about 60-something years old at the time. She told me, she took me to the side, and she says, Vaughn, you don't realize this yet. I was 29. Yeah, 29 years old. She says, you don't realize this. And I said, I don't realize what? She said, God's got his hands on you. You got something to do. You're not going to get away with what you see your friends getting away with. You know, they can go out and drink for days and drive for days and not get caught, says, but you're going to get caught because you got something to do. And it took a while, but, yeah, I think it kind of sucked in, and I gave up drinking in the whole nine yards. And there are things that we have opportunities to be here. If you're here, we got, I'm quite sure any one of us can think of people who didn't make it to here, who were gone on away from here because of an accident or because of whatever. But it's by God's grace and by God's love, and only by his grace and love, that we made it to here. And it was because people were willing to talk to us, willing to give us the benefit of a doubt. And I think we need to learn how to be that type of a person. And even if we haven't done it in a while, because I know some of us do know how to do that. You were talking about the way you used to work with AIDS patients and things. Let's start again. Let's get back to it. You know, let's show the kindness that God showed us to other people. And even if we don't see it, we might run into them one day in heaven. And they will mostly certainly say thank you, because I know there's a bunch of people up there that I will probably have to thank also. And I hope I have the courtesy and the manners to say thank you. You know, the sister Angelica said one time is that basically we're down here working on to become the type of person we want to be in heaven. So when we work on becoming caring and loving and things like that, that's the only thing that's going to go out of here with us. You're not taking money, you're not taking wealth, you're not taking anything, but you have to take you in order for you to know you're there. So right now here, we're just here to develop us, to help us develop into the type of person that we want to be and God wants us to be. And I think it's probably one and the same because he knows me better than I know myself. So what he wants me to be, I have learned through the years, time, that he's got a better idea of what I want to be because he hasn't been wrong yet. I mean, I'm not perfect, but the direction that he has brought me in, I'm very happy about. I am very happy about. Okay, Matthew 8. It says, 8, 1 through 13. When he came down from the mountain, a large crowd followed him. A man with leprosy came up and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Now, you know, touching a leper is not an ideal situation for most people in those days. A leper was not even supposed to be in public. They were supposed to go around yelling, unclean, unclean, and if they were in public, they could be stoned. So I was listening to a preacher preach on this one day, and like he was saying, this is at the time of the Beatitudes, where he had just gave the Sermon on the Mount. And so when he came down, he was speaking to a crowd. And when he came down the mountain, it says, when he came down the mountain, the large crowd followed him. So he apparently went down the other side of the mountain for the crowd to follow him down the mountain. And that gave the opportunity for the leper to be there in front of him. Because if the leper was where the crowd was, they would have killed him. They would have killed him, and he knows it. So that when he went down the mountain, he was showing that he had to come to us. There was no way. We're like that leper. There was no way we could go to him. He has to come down to us. When you look at the Beatitudes and the things that have to be there, I don't think any of us can do them perfectly. And it takes Christ and his kindness to come down to us by his grace and allow us and his forgiveness to allow us to be permitted in his presence. And that's what the leper was permitted. It's like he knew the leper was down there, even though the guy was hiding and snuck up there. He walked down the mountain. He had to know it and to see this guy. And that's when it says that the leper kneeled before him. That's the kindness of Christ. Like he met the woman at the well. He knew the woman was going to be at the well. The woman didn't know he was going to be there. And Christ knows where we are and where we're going to be. And he came to those places, and he came to those places to meet us, to help us get here where we are. And through his kindness and through kindness of other people being used by him, we can fill this church. We can fill this church. All we got to do is just reach out and do it. Reach out and do it and invite. I mean, for a while, you're just going to be inviting and nobody's going to show up, but eventually people are going to show up because that reward is going to be there. And when he came down that mountain and he met that leper, imagine this leper who probably had the disease for years, and no one had ever touched him since he had been labeled unclean. The mercy that Jesus Christ had just to reach out his hands to touch him, that probably made him cry. Probably, it would have probably made me cry, because it could have been years that he's ever had the touch of anyone, because he had the leprosy at the time. That it just shows how wonderful Christ is, that he is willing to reach out to us in our unclean states and help us to become clean. You know, and help us to become the people that we want to be. And I think that's a great thing. And I mean, we can never really repay him besides helping his other children come to know him. I think that's the only way that we can really do anything that he would be truly proud of us and happy. And we know that we're all trying to do that in some way or another. Like you said, when you invited that lady in last week, was the black lady that came in?
Yeah.
You said that's what happened to you and you returned that. That's exactly what we're talking about. And we hope to see her back, you know, whenever she's back in town or however. She told me she was a truck driver, so I have no idea where she is, but I imagine she's on the road somewhere, and if she could be here, she probably would. So, let's see. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. "I'm willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone." That has always puzzled me. Why would he say that? I probably have to research that, because there's several places where he healed people and he says, "Don't tell no one." But would he have to tell someone? Because now he's clean. He's going to be walking around. People are going to say, "Hey, wasn't you the guy with leprosy? You know, what happened?" I just don't understand that, but I'm quite sure there's a reason behind it. "But go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony." So that's like you being the meanest person in the world, and now you're kind, and you're going to be kind. And he's saying, "Don't tell nobody what happened." But yet, when you walk out there to the streets, all those little kids that used to throw rocks at you're giving candy to now and everything, would you have to tell somebody what happened? Would you have to tell someone? No, they're going to see it. And then at verse 5, it goes into when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for his help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed and terribly suffering." And Jesus said to him, "I will go with you." And the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under the authority with soldiers under me. I tell one, go, and he goes. And that one comes, and he comes, I say to myself, my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. You know, Jesus Christ said that twice about in the Bible. There's two places where he talks about he hasn't found anyone with such great faith. One was the Greek lady and the other one was a centurion. And to find out what they had in common, this preacher that I know said that he was asked by God, what did they have in common? And he couldn't come up with it. And then finally, the answer came to him when he said, they were not Jewish. That's what they had in common. Because the Jews at the time thought that all they had to do is obey the law. They were looking for the law to save them. They were looking for, if they do this right, then they'll be saved. If they do that right, they'll be saved. So they didn't really have to look at Jesus to be saved. They failed because Moses' law was going to save them. They were going to get the blessing because if they kept the law and things of that nature. These two people didn't look at the law because some of them didn't know it. They probably heard of it being they're around Jews at the time, but they didn't put their faith in it and things of that nature. The only they had to look at was Jesus Christ. And they put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ and what he could do. So it seems to make sense that why Jesus would say he had never seen such faith in all Israel as these two. Because we know that we're only saved by grace, not by acting on the law or fulfilling the law, because we can't do it. And the Jews couldn't do it at the time, even though they have convinced themselves that they could. So by putting our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ is the key, the answer to all of it, to everything. That's why this book, it's a wonderful book that we are reading and having these sermons on. And he even says, I pulled him up some of the talks that he did on YouTube. And because he's a preacher, he says he wrote this book in a way that secular people could read it and understand it. But because he's a preacher, he knows that no one can fulfill this without Christ, which I totally agree. I know I couldn't, and probably if without Christ, probably wouldn't even care to. So I want to put the emphasis on Christ. This is his house. This is why we're here in the whole nine yards. And this is why I'm doing it this way and not referring to the book as often. So y'all can forgive me or whatever, but read the book. It's really a good book. I can't remember all the ones I... Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I know that being kind is what God wants us to do, especially if you understand that we're all family. We're all his children. And as they say, he doesn't have any stepchildren or half-children. Everybody is his children. So we should kind of give everyone that type of respect as being a person that God loves, even if we find this person unlovable at the time. We can try to do that, you know? Did I read Matthew's 42? I do believe I did. I have a lot to say. Oh, okay, here's where I'm supposed to be. Matthew's 8, and I'm right here in front of it. Oh, no. And Jesus, okay. Matthew 7, 24 through 30. Okay, I'm just going to read this whole thing, and then we're going to, then I'll talk about it instead of interrupting. Jesus left the place and went to the vicinity. Thank you. It went to the vicinity of the Tyre. How, what, pronounce that?
Tyre.
He entered in a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, born of Syria, no, whatever that word is, Phoenicia. Okay, y'all know it. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eats the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go, and the demons had left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and demons were gone. That's the other place where he speaks of such great faith, in some translations, apparently. And these people, like I said, they were not bound by the law. Sometimes we get bound by religious edicts and religious this. And for the longest time, even though I was told that I was supposed to be a preacher, I wouldn't preach because I felt like if people found out I was gay, they would kick me out of the church or whatever the case is. And growing up, I had good reason to think that, but it's not the case. I was looking at Reverend Perry's life on Amazon, looking at, and the way that he had got started years before. I didn't know anything really about a gay church or a church. Yeah. And he didn't let that stop him. He didn't let that stop him. So here I am, 60 years old. Hopefully I'll get started one of these days and actually become a preacher or whatever it is that God wants me to do. But, you know, It's wonderful the way God works, but it's also frustrating because he says this is going to happen. The problem is he don't tell us how. And we walk around every corner, every bush, there's all kinds of obstacles. There's stuff that we end up facing and things that we never imagined we should have had to face, and we want to give up because of it. But when it all boils down to, in hindsight, when we look back, we say, he ain't lie. I don't know how we got here, but he didn't lie. And that's the way that, hey, I'm up here. I was told at 3 that I would be up here. And when I look back through everything that I've been through and listen to a lot of the religious edicts and all this other stuff, I had no idea how I was going to get here. I had no idea that I would, who would think about being in Utah when I was raised in Kentucky. It's incredible on what God will do. That's all I can say, and that's because of hindsight. And if he says he's going to do it, I'm old enough now to know that it's going to happen. I may not know how, but it's going to happen. And that in itself helps me to be kind to others, because it's going to happen. He wants it to happen. It's going to happen. He don't lie. He's going to bless you when he says he's going to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. Salvation is a gift. It's not your pay. You can't earn it. You can't do anything. And so he's there for us. And every time that we do things thinking that we're going to get paid for it or earn this way, that's more than likely when we're working against what he wants us to do. He can give you the heart, and I'm quite sure we all have the heart because I see us here every week. And just by showing up, you got the heart to want to do the things that needs to be done. He knows us. He created us. He knows what we truly want, what we truly want, even beyond what we know. And I'm thankful to him and for him. You know? So, I guess I'm about finished now. So, let's just take a minute and think about where we could be kind and how we could be kind going into next week, and how we can rebuild this congregation through God blessing us, because he said he's going to give us the reward that we want. And it's just helping the next door neighbor or talking to someone out there on the street and letting them know where you go to worship. Let them know where you come to worship, and inviting them, you know? Because there are so many ways we can do this, and our sincerity will help God rebuild this church, with the rebuild this congregation. So let us pray. Jesus, I know that you're here. I know because you said you're going to hear us, Lord, and you hear us, that we want to serve you. We want to help our brothers, help our sisters, help them to get to know you better, help them to put their trust in you. Lord God, I know we know the scriptures, but we have to learn to trust that you are going to do what you say you're going to do. And you have shown me that you are, Lord God. It is by your grace that I say that I know, because it's certainly not by anything that I did. It is by you answering our prayers. You're answering, showing the blessings and watching them pour down on us. Lord God, we're here for you. We're here for you. We ask that you use us and to grow this church and to grow your family here. God, for anyone and everyone that wants to be here, Jesus, come into this place and go out of this place with each of us, and draw your children unto us here. In your precious name I pray, amen.